You may need one, you may not. As a food service operator in a leadership role, this may be very important to you. Of course, you may not need it depending on your situation. What am I talking about? The Food Safety Manager Certification. That is the focus topic for today. Welcome to the Good Food, Safe Food Podcast. Howdy, everybody. Welcome to our last conversation around the Food Safety Manager Certification discussions. This is our third installment, part three of this conversation, kicking off our podcast on the Good Food, Safe Food Podcast. This is a real food safety talk for the real world, as the tagline goes. We are really excited to kind of wrap up and close out this little discussion. This will be our first series of podcasts. And we really wanted to come to y'all and discuss just kind of how to prepare for the test and then some final thought processes around this discussion of the Food Safety Manager certification. If you have not heard the other two episodes, I do recommend going and listening to those. You can go ahead and listen to this podcast by itself. But we do recommend that you go listen to the other two because they kind of build on each other. And they talk through kind of a, let's just say, the reasoning behind why we have the Food Safety Manager certification program in the first place. And then we talk through how, when, and where to handle the test. And we also talk about different organizations that are participating. As you hear in our disclaimers at the end of the podcast, all trademarks that we discuss are the rights of the endorsement, unless you state otherwise. But I wanted to kind of close out this series in talking about the actual study part of this conversation to get ready for the Food Safety Manager certification, whichever one you're taking. And there's several different ways to get ready for the test. And some of it comes down to, are you required to have training in your particular state or jurisdiction or company or not? And that goes back to what we talked about in the first episode of, are you required to even have the certification or not? Some jurisdictions do require training as part of the exercise, be it 8 hours, be it 6 hours, be it 16 hours. And sometimes the company has their own requirements. So if that's the case for you all, then make sure that you get those particular requirements in place, be it a company driven or a regulatory, the health department driven situation. If you are going to go get ready for this test and you're taking a class, that's great. Take the class. A couple of things. First of all, I know restaurant operators are not used to sitting in classrooms for hours on end. And let's just assume that you're in the classic food safety class where you're there for all day and then you take the test in the late afternoon and early evening, and then you're out of there. So check with your instructor, ask if you can bring snacks, waters, sports drinks, energy drinks, whatever you need to do to be awake. There was a class I was part of a couple of years ago, and the general manager for the location had brought several people with them, and they had all had packs of pistachios. And so you heard pistachios being cracked all day long. It kept them awake, it kept them energized. So I would just suggest that just check with the whoever's leading the class and ask if you can bring drinks and snacks into the facility. It may come down to they don't want you to because it's the area that they're renting or the facility that's hosting the event may or may not be capable of having those kind of discussions. So just know whatever the host and the proctor or the instructor state is the case for that particular situation. Ask your instructor if you can stand up, if you can move around during the class. And sometimes instructors are recognizing this. And in fact, when I teach my classes, I often encourage people to stand up, stretch. We take breaks about every 90 to 2 minutes, depending on how the agenda is going that day, because you need to move around. You're not used to sitting in the food service operations. You're very, very rarely sitting for extended period of time. You're usually moving. So that is something that I always encourage. Now, that does not mean that's going to work for every single person. You may be in more of a lecture hall style training class where you have to sit through the whole time. So again, please know that you do need to work with the instructor and discuss the situation before you do it. But move around. Now, if you're taking this traditional class, take notes. you may have a great backbone for food safety already, and you may feel comfortable about talking with food safety with anybody. But if you get to a point where you're looking at a bunch of numbers, sometimes it helps to write down all the numbers during the training class, because there's a lot of numbers that we talk about in food safety, a lot of measurements, a lot of temperatures, a lot of discussions around time, a lot of discussions around other aspects that are detailed, and taking notes will help. So bring paper, bring pencil. Sure, you will not be able to use your notes for the test. It is a closed exam in a proctored setting. There are some exceptions, and talk to your instructor, but you cannot use those notes, but it does help you remember. And then as you're doing a quick study throughout the day, you can go back and go, okay, I feel strong about these numbers, or, oh, I need to go work on these numbers, or whatever that looks like. So it is really a good idea to just take notes as you go if you're taking the traditional class. Even if you are more of an auditory, you hear things and you just pick it up, that's great. But I do recommend taking notes, even if you don't feel comfortable with that. Now, if you are an avid note taker, depending on the style of class, you may find yourself writing like a couple books. So if you know you're that person, bring lots of paper, bring a spiral notebook, whatever that looks like for you. Make sure you are set up for success with that and have lots of pencils or pens available to you if you are an avid note taker. And that's how you learn. That's fine. If you are doing the self-study option, one of the options is to find the latest and greatest online and do your own self-study off of that. I do have some warning for you and some suggestions for you. And the other option, of course, is online study. There are organizations that have online trainings. It might even be the organization that you work with or you're taking the test from. They might have an online program as well. So find out what you're going to be best for you. Now, some people love online learning. I am not a huge fan of that. I'm more a fan of the face-to-face kind of style, but I do see the value of online learning. And I have used it in various ways. And online learning definitely does help you get ready for food safety events, food safety training, food safety challenges that come up. And you can kind of learn how to handle certain things or what you should be aware of in your day in and day out operations. However, you don't get the opportunity often online to be able to ask some questions or how does it apply to your particular facility or those kind of things. So you've got opportunities to grow your skills by playing that game face to face with an instructor versus doing something on the online only and not having any success with it. The other thing you can do for self-study is review online current materials, current information. Now, this is a challenge unless you are really familiar with the FDA food code, because you can get into the weeds really quickly. And there is a lot of information about food safety certifications online that might be old or might be antiquated or might have not been updated. And you can also get confused by country. I did a test for one person who did a self-study version of this, and they actually were studying some of the Canada specs and some of the Canada information, but the test was for the United States. So it's really good if you're going to go online to make sure you vet any of the topics against the FDA food code. So finding the last version of the FDA food code that's been approved and is live. And then you want to make sure that you double check those numbers. I have had people who are self-aware enough of their own skills that they have gone in and just read the FDA food code or updated themselves on the FDA food code, and they've passed the food safety manager class. That's absolutely great if you can do it. The FDA food code, of course, is very, very complex and very detailed in a lot of ways. And some people just gravitate towards that kind of learning and understanding, and some people have some challenges with that. So it is one of the reasons why we have organizations like ServSafe, like State Food Safety, that teach these classes, because we know that the FDA food code by itself is a pretty complex entity. But always be careful if you're just looking at material, that you're on latest and greatest materials. There are several online sources to sell old food manager certification books or food safety certification books that are antiquated and outdated. And so be careful about that. Somebody will try to sell a book because it's a property, piece of property, but it may be 10, 15, 20 years old. So look at the date it was published, and that might help you with finding out what you're supposed to be looking at. All of this to say that as you go to the training, make sure you're on time. Try to get some rest if you can the night before so you're not falling asleep. Find what you're going to have to do to pay attention in the class. And then find what you're going to have to do as far as keeping yourself awake and motivated and focused on the material. And like I said, snacks, drinks, standing up, moving around, taking the breaks, those kind of things are really, really helpful. Now, if you're on the self-study program and all you're doing is showing up to take the test and you've arranged it that way and you're not required to take training for whatever reason, then that's fine. Again, we have spent a lot of time in the last episode talking about test taking strategies, and we're not done with this conversation by any means. I think I'm going to be coming back to this in later weeks as well, but wanted to just kind of get out there this overview of getting ready for the training class. Now, as always, I want to tie this into food safety culture. And since we've got a little bit of time here, we try to keep these episodes at about 20 minutes or less. Your food safety manager certification from whatever organization you get it from does not magically transform your operation to be automatically food safe. You still are expected as a leader, as a manager, as whatever position you are, after you've done these classes, after you've done this test, to take the information and apply it to your operation. So for instance, I'm working with a restaurant very recently, and they have about 9 or 10 food safety managers that are certified for the establishment. All of them are required to do it per their company standards, which is great. That's awesome. And they've all passed and they all have current certificates because I've seen them almost every time I visited. And I'm walking through and we see a hand washing opportunity. And we see a product sitting in the counter not being attended to, time control abuse, which we'll talk more about later. And then you see a team member who clearly isn't in uniform for food safety procedures. You may have had the training, but do you put it into action? And so one of the reasons why I do recommend recertifying is to think about food safety in a fresh approach. Think about food safety anew for your facility. I get the fact that you're in your facility day in and day out doing the same role for probably years. And that really can eventually cause you to go a little bit, I'm not going to say the word blind, but you don't start seeing the same things the same way. And so while you have the training, which is important, but while you have the training, you also want to come in with fresh eyes. You want to make sure that you're thinking about food safety practices day in and day out. And do all of your employees, all of your teams, all of whatever you call them, associates, whatever you call them, are all of them understanding the requirements and the things they bring to the picture that really drive home food safety practices in your operations, in your facility? And you, as a certified manager, are responsible as the person in charge to be making sure that those employees, those team members, those associates are all doing their best in food safety. And you really can make a difference by acting upon all this education, all this training that you get. So building your culture starts with a foundation, and the foundation of education being food safety manager really is part of that conversation. Not the only thing. There's lots more. We'll always tie in food safety culture to this conversation. But what I'm hoping you get out of this is take the idea of your food safety manager and just bring it to your facility, bring it to your operations, because it's going to make an impact. It's going to help you grow your food safety knowledge within the operation that you attend. That is all we wanted to cover for this section. We'll be moving on to other topics in future podcasts. We wanted to appreciate you all for listening. I want to say, make it a great day and make it a safe one. Thanks for listening. Talk to y'all later. And now for the disclaimers. This podcast and video is for entertainment purposes first and educational purposes second. This should not be considered professional advice. The Good Food, Safe Food podcast and its guests are not responsible for any losses, damages, or liabilities that may arise from the use of the information of this podcast. Any views expressed in this podcast may not be those of the host or the management of C4FL or the Good Food, Safe Food podcast family. As with all things food safety, contact your local health department or regulatory jurisdiction, as they are the final say when it comes down to food safety for your operation. Good Food, Safe Food is not responsible for any misunderstandings or challenges due to these interpretations. Any specific mentions of specific entities or businesses on the podcast is not an endorsement unless otherwise said. All trademarks and business names are the rights of the individual businesses. This podcast may not be republished or rebroadcast without the consent of the management of Good Food, Safe Food podcast and or its owner, C4FL.